Welcome to the third episode of Inside Innovation, powered by Enterprise Ireland. I'm your host, Aidan McCullen, and over the coming weeks, we will bring you stories of innovation, tips from changemakers, and information about a variety of supports that are available. Many countries all over the world have attempted to track the spread of the coronavirus through their citizens' smartphones, but one country has stood out among them all: Ireland. We are joined today by the Chief Commercial Officer of the company behind that success, Larry Breen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Aidan. Thanks for having me.
Larry, I thought a great way to start would to be introduce Nearform, because it's interesting that you were approached actually by the HSE. They came to you because you had built capacity and capability that was very useful when the time came.
Yeah, Aidan, from that point of view, Nearform, we've been around for sort of 8-9 years at this stage. We have a pretty solid global reputation. So for a Southeast Ireland-based company, we've spread our wings and we employ people from across the globe, obviously making sure we got the highest quality talent. From that point of view, we got ourselves a great reputation as an accelerated solution delivery outfit. So the services that we actually provide is we build software for people, we build it at scale, high quality, and extremely quickly. So when the Irish government, obviously faced with the crisis of COVID, identified a need to bring digital into the contact tracing environment, they were looking for somebody who could build something extremely quickly, but obviously not compromising on quality. So they reached out to us one Saturday morning, asked if it was something that we could do for them. That evening, we spun up a full team and 10 days later delivered their first app.
This is one of the capabilities that Nearform had developed, was speed and excellence.
Yeah, very much so. So for COVID, we're seeing a lot of businesses adapt to COVID and transform their organizations and how they operate and how they work. Thankfully for Nearform, we've been a remote first business for virtually all of our history. So the whole closing down offices and moving to home working didn't really affect us in any great shapes. In terms of the actual spinning it up and delivering it, this is what we do. So we've been doing it for businesses, for large enterprise and large organizations for many years. We're able to deliver proof of concepts extremely quickly to get people up and running, to prove the ideas and the business thoughts that they had behind them. And then we'll move that proof of concept through to an MVP and get it out into a production environment. We follow that very similar path, obviously. We obviously pushed the envelope a bit harder because of the whole circumstances of COVID, and because we were working on this government contract, we pushed it a bit harder. But fundamentally, we did what we normally do, again, at speed. Deliver that proof of concept within the first 10 days, helped and with all the different partners that were involved with the project understand what was possible, what needed to be done, and then started to evolve that forward until we got to a point where, you know, the government were ready to go out to production and out to its citizens.
You mentioned something there, because in our series to date, we've talked about building capability before it was needed. So you had technical capability, you had speed in your DNA. But one of the things you had there that you mentioned briefly was this remote workforce. So your team is geographically spread all over the globe, but you're based in Ireland, in the remote parts of Ireland, which is interesting because we're going to see more and more of this in the future.
The way we work within Nearform is we actually look for the premium talent. So we don't get caught up in geographically where you're based. What we get caught up in is, are your talent, are your skills, are your experiences the best that we can possibly find? And wherever you're based, as a developer, as an engineer, that's where we're going to go with you. So that's been the mandate from the company from the get-go. And as a consequence, it's allowed us to build such a high-quality premium team. We're able to do these things at such high quality and, again, at such high speed. But we've ignored the border side of it. So we've been remote working all of these years. Obviously, we have done and we do on-site engagements where it's necessary for the project. Obviously, with COVID, all it's done is taken what we normally do and obviously just concentrated a little bit more. So instead of those occasional on-site visits or, you know, those select projects that do require a physical in-person, we've obviously been able to stay completely away from that. So we haven't missed a beat in terms of that whole change to the working environment, which obviously gives us competitive advantage and all the rest of it, but meant we were readily set up to obviously support various governments who wanted us to support them on their COVID journey.
You mentioned there about you were ready for when governments approached you. And that's, I mentioned that in the intro as well. Nearform was approached by the HSE. You didn't go in looking for a tender, etc. But one of the important factors there is they were looking for a partner. So partnership becomes really important. The reason I mentioned this is you already have a tight feedback loop within Nearform, within your development community. But how do you extend that to a partnership with a governmental agency?
Fundamentally, we treat the governmental agency in the same way we do all of our customers. So we work on a one-team mentality. So a lot of professional services companies and other people delivering services into businesses, they go in, they get a scope of work, and then they step back, they get busy, and they deliver a product. Obviously, they have touch points along the way. The way Nearform works is we work in this one-team environment. So we bring Nearform and whoever our partner, in this case, the HSEs. We obviously bring everybody together. We get some key sponsors within there. So a product owner or a product manager who effectively embeds themselves into the Nearform HSE team. And that's very much how this worked with the HSE and with the various other governments that we're working with, is we actually create that one team that contains obviously the Nearform expertise, but it also brings in the expertise of other partners within that organization. So for the HSE, it was obviously the HSE folks themselves who obviously understand their business, understand the outcomes, understand what needs to go on, and obviously the implications of that for their objectives. But they were also able to bring other parties to the partnership that were able to look at some of the data protection issues, transparency, user behaviors, design, testing. So again, it was bringing all of those into one coherent group, working together as a unified entity, and therefore the finished product that we've delivered out, or the HSE launched a few weeks ago, has obviously is exemplar in the marketplace because we've been able to bring all of those things together. And it's a true test of that partnership and collaboration. And fundamentally, from a Nearform point of view, that's how we've been so successful over the last 9 years.
I was thinking about how the term bureaucracy actually means ruled by desk. Many times meetings include hundreds of people. They're just there to be involved in the project in some way or from an oversight perspective. How do you manage to keep this idea of agile, of only inputting when you have something to say within the agency? How do you bring that into the partner that you're working with?
The day-to-day operational team are very much focused, and we make sure that the product owners or product managers from the organization we're working with, so in this case the HSE, it's a narrow group of people who are then able to go out and communicate effectively into their wider organization. So on a day-to-day stand-up basis, they're the guys that are in actually involved in the conversations, actually getting involved in the debate, the design, monitoring the progress, and then obviously they'll run back off to their organizations and bring in additional information and different additional pieces. To supplement that, you have to also be mindful of, you know, a lot of these projects, especially these governmental projects, obviously create a lot of interest across the bureaucracy, as you describe it. So from that point of view, is we'll do weekly check-ins. And those weekly check-ins, and again, they can be more frequent or less frequent, depending on the project. What they then allow is they allow that wider audience to obviously see what's happening, for us to be able to give demonstrations, talk them through progress. So they're seeing regular things happening and they're able to see that the input that they've given through their focus channels is actually reaching the project team and resulting in the output. And we see that with, you know, some of these projects that we work with different governments, you know, we'll jump on a call. You could have 50, 60 people actually on that call. The reality is probably 5 or 6 people will actually say something. The rest are there more for their awareness or to be associated with the project to make sure it's actually staying within the right guidelines and obviously providing that side guidance. So what those weekly check-ins do is they allow those folks to obviously understand overall all the different elements of it. They get to see the processes. They get to see their thoughts, ideas, and needs obviously translating into a real thing within the project. And then they allow those focused entities, so those guys and gals that are acting as product managers within the overall project, it allows them to obviously really just concentrate on getting what needs to be done so we can move very quickly.
We talked a lot about collaboration, both you within your team and then you with the companies that you work with. But the Irish government have been fantastic in their collaboration with other governments, because we've been recognized worldwide. Doing research for this episode was not hard. The app and Nearform has been featured in global publications such as Business Insider, for example, and heralded as the app that's actually working, because within only a few weeks of release, 37% of the population had downloaded it. But the government have been approached and have been totally open about sharing the learnings, the lessons along the way, and how this app can work across the globe.
The Irish government, so if we deal just with the actual local launch, so one of the big challenges to this kind of a project, you know, there's technological challenges, you know, and that's our job to resolve. And as one of the, you know, market leaders, that's fine for us to deal with. Some of the big challenges that you have around the whole contact tracing side of it is about people perception. So what citizens think of these apps. And that's where a lot of countries, you know, and a lot of entities have failed. The HSE has taken that on board. And what they've done from the get-go is they've been very much looking to address those concerns within the market. And as a consequence of that, they've been very, very transparent. So they've done a lot of data protection analysis. They've brought a lot of experts in to scrutinize every aspect of what's actually gone on. And they actually, again, in conjunction with ourselves, so from a Nearform point of view, our foundation started in the whole open source software community. So we've been an active collaborator and contributor to open source for many, many years. We were able to leverage that in conjunction with the HSE and actually open source the code that sat underneath the Irish app that we were actually putting out there. So for anybody who had any concerns or worries, not only were they able to see the different reports and the activities and obviously listen to what we're saying about it, anybody with the ability was able to actually come in and look at the underlying code and see that level of transparency. What the Irish government were also very keen to do is obviously to share not just their learnings, but again, any of the other elements that was reasonable to do so. So they open sourced that code again to allow it to be shared with multiple other governments. We did that obviously ahead of launch, so everybody could have a really good look and understand and have confidence in the product that was being put out there. But then in conjunction, again, with the HSE, we also did a second release of open source, and we created an open source project called COVID Green with the Linux Foundation. Now, the Linux Foundation are a very large open source community, obviously centered out of the US, but obviously has a very large global presence. Again, the Irish government were keen to obviously put stuff into that open source community and allowing community engagement, and therefore able to support as many governments worldwide as possible. And it's not just stopped in terms of providing that information. A lot of the folks in the HSE, again, have been more than happy to engage in conversations and share their own personal learnings and insights. And we continue to do this because, again, COVID, as we've all seen within the media, continues to evolve and we get new learnings about COVID itself. That has an impact on how the app performs and how it needs to be designed and new thoughts and ideas that are behind it. And again, the Irish government would be very keen to obviously make sure they're doing the best that they can for their citizens, but then also sharing any of those positive learnings or identifying any mistakes and pitfalls that others could avoid and sharing that to, you know, the global community.
There's a few things run through my mind there. First is the idea of open sourcing. That's great for collaboration for the world, and we need that more than ever. But from a commercial perspective, and you're chief commercial officer, I'm sure that had some type of dilemma for you. How did you deal with that one?
Thankfully, Aidan, no real dilemma on that side of it. From a Nearform point of view, we've been, again, an active participant in the open source community for many, many years. So we're very familiar with it. The intellectual property that obviously we built as a consequence of creating the app for the HSE, as with all of our customers, that intellectual property remains with the customer. So in this case, it's the HSE's IP. Putting it up into an open source environment, again, it's the right thing to do fundamentally. So, you know, that takes away the initial dilemma. In terms of the commercialization, so obviously that's my focus in terms of how do we make Nearform a sustainable growing business going forwards. Obviously, what we don't want to do is to, you know, give the business away and then Nearform has troubles at some stage in the future. The reality of it isn't. If what we do is obviously we open source that, and then Nearform, obviously, we have the expertise. So we know more about this code, more about the learnings and the understandings than anybody else out there in the marketplace. So by open sourcing it, we're creating that base foundation out there for somebody to get started, but they really need that expertise. And the example that I would regularly use is, Aiden, I could give you a field and a stack of bricks and tell you, off you go, you got everything you need now to build yourself a house. Would you want to live in that house? Or would you want me to get an architect and a set of tradesmen to come in and actually build you a mansion that you're actually going to be happy with? And it's the same kind of analogy that people need to kind of understand. We bring that expertise. We know how to get things done. We know how to get things done at speed. We've already built it. And that code that's obviously out there is code that we've obviously nurtured and brought to the reality. So from that point of view, is we can then very quickly accelerate it. So somebody going in and can take a copy of that open source code, but they've got to now learn the code, understand it, dissect it, and understand what it does and the wider implications of where it goes. From our point of view, we obviously already have that built into us as an organization because we've got that head start. So therefore, we're able to now take that to other governments. And if you look, you know, HSC has been the focus of this, and they are at the heart of everything we've done. But we've also already delivered, and we've got operationally live Gibraltar. We've got Northern Ireland now live, again, supporting an all-Ireland interaction, which is great. Scotland have announced recently that obviously we'll be delivering for those. So again, that Scotland example is we'll be able to get a fully blown app up and running and available for them within 4 to 6 weeks, which typically is unheard of. We're also now starting our march across North America, so Pennsylvania, Delaware, and we've got a host of other states that we're actively either delivering for, but it's not yet announced. And we've got a whole more that are obviously in the pipeline from a contracting point of view. So for us and from a commercialization point of view, open source is not something people should be scared of. And fundamentally, people need to understand that the vast majority of organizations that are out there, if they're running software in any way, shape, or form, there is going to be some level of open source software that sits underneath. And open source doesn't need to be a non-commercial thing. There are a lot of commercial services you can actually wrap around it and build very successful businesses.
And I think that's a core message to get across from the success of Nearform and the Irish government, because the future of business is going to have to be collaborative. It's going to have to be the way. And particularly as we go further and further into this more increasingly digital world, things are going to change. Businesses will have to learn from other businesses, and collaboration is the way to do that. For people who need their house built, if they have their bricks in their field, Larry, where can they find Nearform?
Nearform, come on to nearform.com and come and visit us, have a look around and see what's happening. Reach out to any of the team members. We've got various contact channels. We're headquartered down in the southeast, down in Tremore. We're spread across 21 countries, so we've pretty much got Nearformers somewhere within shouting distance of anybody. We would encourage people at any stage to reach out, even if it's just to share some information, pick our brains, or obviously ideally as the chief commercial officer, if you've got a nice big juicy contract, then please give me a call.
Fantastic. CCO, Chief Commercial Officer of Nearform, Larry Breen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's it for the third episode of Inside Innovation, powered by Enterprise Ireland. You can join us in the future for more Inside Innovation, and find us in the meantime on irishadvantage.com.